Welcome to Grom's Body of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
We are tired.
We are coming from you live to the from the floor of our hotel room while sitting on pillows.
It has been 2 days of WrestleMania.
Dude.
We have no voice.
No.
I broke a foot, I think.
Yeah, Evan's in a bad way.
I'm in a bad way.
Bad way.
But we have been to an ECW reunion show, NXT Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. We just saw the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Don't take that as, you know, fact. It's not. But it is my favorite wrestling match of all
John
time.
John Cena, Jey Uso, The Undertaker, the Wrestling Avengers, fully formed.
Yes.
We have no script for this week.
No.
We've just been in Philly.
No. We don't know what's going on.
Let's kind of run through what WrestleMania weekend was like. The overall experience of WrestleMania. Your first WrestleMania, my first WrestleMania. Yeah. What was it like?
It was everything I wanted it to be and more. Personally, I don't know. We do a fucking wrestling podcast. Like it's got to a point where we're just kind of nerds when it comes to this stuff. And for me personally, just being around all these people who, you know, do all these, just know as all this stuff about this, weird thing that is scripted, choreographed fighting.
It's fun to meet other nerds.
Yeah. We've had some really fun interactions this weekend. We've heard some really cool chants, all this other stuff.
We saw the drunkest guy ever get kicked out of Lincoln Financial Field
midway through the Cody Roman match.
He missed all of the interference.
That guy would not shut up the whole night too. It was crazy. He just kept, and it didn't matter whose side. He wasn't on anyone's side. He just wanted to yell. He was also drunk before the show even started.
He was hammered at 5:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and he just kept going. So I can only imagine what it was like towards the end.
Miller Lite guy made so much money off him. Okay, so let's start with night one. We'll start with night one. We'll go to night two after.
No tribute to the extreme. This is slander.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit about what tribute to the extreme was like, which was, it was just a weird time. It was good, but it was a weird time. There's a lot of Alvin, a lot of Jason Knight content.
Yeah.
Let's start with night one of WrestleMania. What was your biggest highlight from night one?
For me, it's the tag match. I thought the tag match delivered really in a good. Big way. I mean, super long. Us being there live, it felt
shorter.
It was 44 minutes, something like that.
I think, yeah.
44 and a half minutes, I think, is what it ended up being in the end. It did not feel like 44 and a half minutes.
No.
It felt like, if you had told me that was a 30 minute match, I would have believed you.
Yeah.
It was enthralling. I mean, I understand the sentiment. It was boring for the first half or whatever. It was a slow build, but once I think Seth and Rock went into the crowd, and then Roman and Cody fought up the ramp. Once we got to that point in the match, and then anything after that, it was a home run for me.
Double pedigree spot was the biggest false finish of night one.
Which is weird. Nobody expects that to be the finish.
Nobody thought that was going to be the finish. For me, it's Gunter Sammy.
Yeah. You lost your
mind. I lost my mind. I lost my voice. If you saw our predictions, you would know that I had Sami Zayn winning just because I picked with my heart. And God damn it, they let my heart win.
You won this weekend.
I did win
for
this
sure.
Weekend.
I mean, my two curveballs were Gunther retaining and EO winning, and I didn't get either one of those two.
Oh, so. Two. Sami Zayn is my favorite underdog in professional wrestling because Cody is not an underdog, especially now.
We'll get to that.
But night one overall, the experience was fantastic. We had great seats. You can see all the photos from it on our Instagram at Crossbody of Work. It was a great experience. We also had empty seats next to us.
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, okay. So we've seen online people complaining about the crowd reactions on night one.
It was loud for us.
It was loud for us, and the people were so, so cold.
I know, I can say me personally.
Yeah.
As some, I get pretty active at these shows. I'm not starting chants or anything like that.
But
yeah, you tried. But like, I'm someone that like, if there's a chant going on and I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm joining in, like 90 something percent of the time I'll join in. Night one was one of those situations where like I was there and I was physically present and paying attention. This was like a crazy experience, but the entire night I'm like, fuck me, I'm cold. So like freezing. I can't feel my hands.
Too cold for any of that. Man. We bought hand warmers today.
Didn't need them. Need them.
Didn't need them. I was in a t-shirt and my jacket. You were in one of our wonderful crew necks.
Yes.
Crossbody work.
And a puffer vest.
So we were dying out there.
Dying.
But it was freezing cold. Other big pops from night one. Also, if you're wondering, we've lost our voices. It's also, as of recording, it's
1 a.m.
1:07 in the morning because it took us about an hour and a half to get out of the parking lot.
Why is it that long?
We got to the car at 11:11 p.m. and we got back into the hotel at about 12:40.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long night. There's a lot of wrestling fans in this hotel.
Better than night one.
Better than night one because we waited for an Uber in the cold. Other big pops from night one. Let's talk R-Truth.
Amazing.
The hot tag.
Great.
Maybe one of the loudest things I've ever heard. And then when he finally got up there and pulled the belts down for his first ever WrestleMania win.
That was his first one?
His first one.
Yeah, that tracks.
It was unbelievable. That whole tag match, I want you talk about New Catch Republic.
Pete Dunne is the MVP of WrestleMania weekends. Is the MVP of the year. Honestly, like, is the person that should SmackDown this Friday. I need him taking that belt off of Cody Rhodes. I'm already done with the title reign. I just needed the moment.
New story.
I just needed the moment. We're starting a new era, right? This is what all night two was about. The new era of WWE. Let's start the new era right and give it to the best professional wrestling in the best professional wrestler in the world. Be done.
So we had New Day did great in that tag match. Awesome. You know, I'm a big New Day guy. DIY. Were awesome. They were attempting to kill New
Catch Republic. They, I don't know. This is, I can't even say this is them trying to get their lick back because there was no lick to get back. They decided to swallow New Catch Republic. Yeah. There was the air raid off of the top rope from Gargano to bait. There was the
tornado DDT.
Tornado DDT off the apron through a fucking table. From Gargano to Dunn, it was like big spot after big spot after big spot. I was like, what is this? This is kind of racist at this point, I feel like. I can't say racist because they're both white groups. This is xenophobia at this point.
This is anti-British establishment.
Yeah.
The only disappointment from night one was the Uso match.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. No chemistry there.
I think it was, you said, like, this is a match they've been planning their whole lives, and all they did was super kick.
Super kick, and, like, it was the same offense. Like, Matt and Nick Jackson have faced each other before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being the Elite 200, I think they, like, the thing was they had a match against each other or whatever. And, like, it's fine. You know, like, I understand that the Usos have legitimately the same offense. Like, that is their whole thing. They've just been the same. Yeah. And even though they're singles guys, they still use the same thing. Super kick, big Uso splash, all that stuff. But, like, last night was an opportunity for them to be different. Like, it was a chance to, listen, you could do your wrestling. Like, Jay could, like, be a babyface. Just do babyface spots. Just
pull out a couple new moves.
Jimmy could just be a heel. Headlocks. Stuff like that. Like, bring that in. So you put some psychology, some stank on it. But no. And then, like, maybe debut a new finisher for Jey Uso or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, just to get him over. Instead, we get the stupid spear into the Uso splash, which I hate because the spear sucks. And the splash is good, but it's like, there was just nothing there, man.
Good spear? Cody Rhodes. All right. Night two.
Oh.
Night two. Warmer. Love that for
Way
us.
Warmer. We had hand warmers, like we mentioned earlier, and we didn't need them.
Didn't need them. I had this new Obafemi t-shirt.
We'll talk more about NXT shortly.
We will
shortly.
Talk about Stand and Deliver in a second. The opener of Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins, and then Damian Priest immediately, after CM Punk messes up Drew McIntyre, cashes in on Drew. overarching thoughts on how night two opened?
I thought the entire open was great. Becky Rhea from night one, I believe we've mentioned, an excellent opener. Yeah. I think it's in the, I mean, I can't say enough high things about that. I think it's one of the 10 best openers in WrestleMania history, easily. It might be pushing for even higher up than that. And I think night two's opener, I don't think the match was as good as Rhea Becky between those two guys. I mean, it was a lot of finisher spam.
It was. There were a lot of claims.
I'm not going to complain. I like finisher spam matches. Like, I think they're good when they work. And I think this is one that worked. To me personally, especially considering, you know, like Drew's, in the psychology of things, Drew's going for the big shot because Seth was just in a match the night before.
Yeah.
You know, he's hurt, all this other stuff. Like, why not go for the grand slam?
I will say, so Seth in night one gets his knee worked over a lot.
Yeah.
And then in night two, he would sneeze and sell his knee.
Yes. There was a lot of knee sells. Even when he didn't land on his knee, didn't affect his knee in any single way, shape, or form. But gotta sell it, brother.
Gotta sell it.
So I thought it was great. So after Drew wins, he goes up to Punk. And as soon as he's like near Punk, like not even when he gets on the announce table or anything, when he's like just looking at him, we hear the crowd just start chanting for Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Like, guys are people around us and, like, start around. There's, like, murmurs for Damian Priest and stuff like that. So then there's this interaction. We have no idea what was said still to this day. Like, to now. Don't have no idea what they said between each other. We do not get that. There's no commentary. There's no, like, mic that tells us what these people are saying. We just see on the screen there's an interaction between the two. And they're talking. And I'm not a lip reader, so I have no idea what's going on there. Punk takes off his brace. He has enough. He takes off his brace. Hits Drew with it. And then we hear Damian Priest's music. By the point that the brace shot happens, we're like, it's full on Damian happening. Priest. Yeah. Like, everyone's going crazy about it. And then the thing happens. Huge pop. I don't know how it came across on TV. Massive pop in the arena or in the stadium for Damian Priest. And then, it's great. Like, someone called it the greatest cash in of all time. I think it was the drunk guy.
It was the drunk guy.
And you were like, is Dolph Ziggler here? And I was like, yeah. First off,
the disrespect.
Respect Seth Rollins.
I actually want to shout out Seth Rollins as maybe the underrated performer of the weekend.
Yeah.
Great in the tag match. Great in this opener with Drew. And great in his surprise appearance later on.
Plays a key part in that match.
Other things from night two, LA Knight, AJ Styles. Crowd was a little quiet after the LA Knight entrance, but was good otherwise.
It's because I feel like it was more so a jarring thing with AJ. But we have to mention the elephant in the room. If anything within that middle stretch of matches sounded like the crowd was off, I will say, do you guys remember like WrestleMania 35, the New York one from 2019? When people were complaining during AJ and Randy's match that the crowd was like out of it because there was a big light that was bothering them. That middle stretch from like the AJ LA Knight match to I would say Becky Io
and the street fight
and the street fight Becky Io, like there's like a stretch there in the middle of the show where there's just this massive freaking light.
I'm gonna just hold this up.
Evan's got it held up.
Wow, because of the ring light, that's not doing any good justice. But
we could see the ring, but like it's like driving with the sun in your face. Like you can see the road. But it sucks.
It was, and we'll say we were in the 100s.
Yeah,
there were people in the 300s who could not see. So you got to give them a little bit of credit.
Like
for that.
Someone took a picture from up there, like of what their view was. I saw on Twitter, and it was bad.
It's disgusting.
But good match. It was a good match. Big moment for LA Knight. He deserves it. I hope this pushes him to bigger and better things as we head into the summer, pretty much, and you know. Hopefully he gets a title of some kind by the end of the year.
Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, great triple threat. Speed taking an RKO, perfect.
Perfect.
I have no notes.
Rough kick.
The Sparta kick. Yeah, the pop-up RKO, outstanding.
Yep.
That was really good.
Great spot.
Logan winning is the right call.
He
brings eyes to the product. He's a good, he's really good at wrestling. I wish he wasn't. But he's really good at wrestling.
There's also like so many more people for him to wrestle, like compared to the other two guys. And I think that the story is not over for the Maverick. He's been too good at this. And you know, maybe there's a certain a guy with a lot of Kevorka who's on the horizon for him.
Kevorka?
That's the word that that LA Knights likes to use, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's true. Bayley defeating Io Sky, great match.
Yeah, good match.
I do think, weirdly, the crowd was saving themselves for what they thought the main event was going to be like. Yeah. So there were times where they were maybe a little less invested than they should be. The light didn't help.
The light did not
but, help. Also, we were talking about this.
Big ending sequence. I will say, once the last like 5 minutes of that match, when Io really turned it on and Bayley started giving it back to her, like that was really good.
Bayley and Io both don't have like chantable, poppable music.
Yeah, and so the entrances
were so quiet.
Yeah.
Don't know if that came across on TV, but it was real quiet. Yeah,
Bayley's music, I was kind of hoping that they would like bring back the hugger music just for that reason alone.
One
just for that reason alone.
Do you think it was louder? Obviously, take the main event out of it.
Yeah.
Overall, do you think it was louder night one or night two?
Ooh.
Because I think it was louder night one.
Yeah, and but night one's going to get a lot of flack for it, but like night one was really loud. I'm telling you guys, loud. Like it was loud in there.
It was loud.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Rhea Becky match is probably as loud as it got, but that makes sense. It's WrestleMania night one. It's the first match. And yeah, I guess aside from the two main events, that's the loudest it got.
Yeah.
And so for that alone, I'm going to give it to night one.
Main event.
Ugh.
The Avengers assemble. John Cena interference, Jey Uso interference, Seth Jimmy. Rollins as Shield interference, Jimmy and Solo, Rock, Undertaker.
Yeah.
There is nothing we can say that's going to convey what it was like to be in the arena. I will say there was an HBK cosplayer in our section, but people started chanting HBK and we thought Shawn Michaels was behind us. Do you know how fucking disappointed it is when all of a sudden you think HBK is there and it's just a scrawny dude who, give him credit, it was getting chilly at that point. He was still in the full cosplay.
He was Heartbreaker.
He HBK. Was Heartbreaker HBK. Like Sherry was somewhere near him.
Yeah,
What I want to talk about for the match.
Go ahead.
One, I'm going to give you some space to talk about John Cena. And then I want to know, like, where do we go from here?
Where do we go now? Look, I can't. So as we knew, we're on the internet. We know what's up. Like,
I'm chronically online.
Yeah, like we knew Cena, Austin, Taker, like we knew the rumors of what was going to happen. So I like once Jay and Jimmy had their little spot run in, because that was first, obviously, and they go through the table off the ramp. Like we figure, okay, Solo's going to come out. Someone's going to have to deal with him. It's probably going to be Seth or Cena.
Or Cena.
It made more sense for Cena. And I, in anticipation of this, immediately grabbed Evan and I was like, I need you to record because, or take pictures or something because I'm not going to be able to do it. And I knew, I'm very happy that I did because the second the horn hits, I got off onto like the little, so we're on the aisle, we had aisle seats today, thankfully. It was great seats. And I stepped onto the like stair part and I just like bent over.
You just disassociated.
I just bent over. I started jumping. I was like, what the? I was just screaming just to scream. Like, I'd seen John Cena before. It's not my first time seeing John Cena at a wrestling show.
My first time seeing John Cena at a wrestling show.
It's not even my first time seeing John Cena and Cody Rhodes together at a wrestling show. Mm. But it just, that moment right there, you know, I think it was multiple things. It was one, John Cena is saving Cody Rhodes, who is like my guy.
Yeah.
Who I love so much right now. And I'm so invested in his story. It's John Cena at WrestleMania coming in and doing stuff. It's, you know, it's so many, it's my hero, like my childhood hero, pretty much. Like this is, you know, the wrestling fans all have their guy. Like the person that defines the era that really got them into like, you know, people from like who were kids, teenagers in the 80s have Hogan, you know, Attitude Eric, people have Austin. My guy is Cena. Like he is my Austin. He's my Hogan. He's my guy. And he always will be. And so seeing him, like, yes, it took me back to like being a 7, 6, 7, 8 year old, whatever, 9 year old. And like I'm at WrestleMania as an adult and it just took me back to being a kid. And I also thought of like this, like, it's weird that this, like, slipped his mind. This might be the last time I see John Cena. And maybe that also slipped in there. And at that point, that was the point where I started tearing up a little bit. I did not cry. I teared up a little bit.
Is there anything more lit than if you were 9 years old and you watched this WrestleMania? Like, if I'm not, because, no. Like, Cody's the man right now, right? Cody is the superhero. And then Undertaker and John Cena. So let's talk about the Taker pop. Huge.
Huge. Massive.
We all, of course, thought glass shattered. We thought that we were going to get Austin.
But when we got the gong.
When the gong happened.
Oh, wow.
Again, don't know. We haven't seen how it came across on TV. The loudest pop. No, the loudest pop was Cena. But like,
loudest pop was the fall.
Well, obviously. We'll get to that. I'm in of the surprises.
Yeah.
The Shield surprise.
Yes.
Actually, quickly on Undertaker. I love that he, like, obviously he's had problems with The Rock before, but he hasn't been involved in this in any way, shape, or form. He's just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. It's just good. Cody couldn't get Austin, so.
Yeah. Nobody in the arena saw what happened to Seth Rollins because everyone was looking around in the crowd to see where he was coming from.
Yeah,
because
the Shield music hit, and you're like, all right, he usually comes from the stands. And we're like looking, and it's usually on the right side. So we're looking at the right side, or the opposite hard cam side. And we're just like, all right, where's he? Next thing I know, I'm like looking around. Next thing I know, I'm looking back at the ring, and Seth Rollins is already down.
Like, and then we get the gong.
The
finish was great. Love that they aired, apparently, all the cool stuff of people being in the ring.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Cody. I love Cody. What happens now with both Cody and the Bloodline?
Bloodline, I think this just ends up leading to... I would guess SummerSlam between Cody and Rock.
Yeah.
This is going to lead to a big match between Cody and Rock. There's no shot that Rock wins night one, pinning Cody.
Yeah.
Cody wins night two, winning the title. And then this just, you know,
Goes away.
And I think the Bloodline's going to kind of go away a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to blow off the Cody Rock thing pretty early. But I think it's going to be like a, you know, they'll fade into the background a little bit, regroup, get Roman his vacation time. And then we'll come back. Let's say the match is at SummerSlam or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the main event. We'll do whatever. Rock ends up losing, but we'll have cracks along the way in the Bloodline and all this other stuff. Rock, maybe let's say Roman goes away, but Rock is still pretty active on TV, relatively.
As he can be, yeah.
He starts having more of a controlling influence on the Bloodline, kind of asserting himself as the guy, as the new head of the table.
The final boss.
You know, we get to that point. It leads to cracks, chinks in the armor. He loses. Maybe it's because Roman doesn't help in a way that he deemed acceptable, and suddenly the Bloodline turns on Roman. I think that takes us to Mania next year, where one of the main events of whatever night is Rock versus Roman.
And then on the other world title side, obviously I think if Drew has re-signed, which maybe, Drew Punk is going to be a thing. Damian Priest needs a challenger. Maybe... I think Seth is away from the title picture for a while. All I know is after King of the Ring, there's a former Intercontinental Champion who needs something to do. King Kong Bundesliga himself, Gunther. I see no world where Gunther is not World Heavyweight Champion by WrestleMania 41, whether it's that at WrestleMania 41 or in the lead up to it. Also, our podcast this week, because, you know, we're busy. I'll be going all the way back to Canada tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be going all the way home.
We've also watched a whole weekend of wrestling, so instead of covering a rest of this week, we're going to talk about what we think is going to happen over the next year for multiple divisions, like NXT, SmackDown, Raw, things we want to see, things we're hoping get pushed, things like maybe people who need a refresh of gimmick. So that's going to be the podcast this coming week. Well, just like how this is the podcast this week, because you know what? We was busy.
And we wanted to drop multiple things throughout the weekend, but I think we severely underestimated the fatigue
factor. How exhausting
of wrestling.
Shout out to real wrestling journalists. You guys are doing a great job. But also, you got a comfy indoor suite. So, some of them. I saw it. I saw Chris Van Vliet. I saw you in a comfy suite.
He had a suite?
Well, like they had like the press box or whatever.
The press box is not comfy.
I do not. I ain't never been
in a press box. I want to nip that in the bud. The press box, yes, it's covered. Like, there's windows. It's not really covered. It's not very ventilated in there. maybe I'm just wrong because I've only ever really seen the Garden, the TD Garden. I guess I also saw the MSG one, and Fenway, which are not good.
Garbage.
And also UMass, but those are not good either.
Speaking of UMass, this is great. This is a great segue. Early contender for match of the weekend was from NXT Sand and Deliver, Obafemi, UMass graduate Josh Briggs, and Dijak.
Worcester's own.
It made me buy this shirt. Obafemi is the future. Either get with it or get out of the way.
Main event in WrestleMania next year should be Obafemi versus Gunter.
I'd cry. Real tears.
Real glass.
Great match. Great card overall. Tony D'Angelo stood out.
Tony D.
Roxy Perez looked great.
Yes.
Overall, Sand Deliver was a really fun like introduction to the weekend for WWE.
Yeah, and I think the most offensive part is that you didn't even mention Trick Williams beating Carmelo Hayes in the main event.
Getting to that. I loved the main event. I thought it was really good. I thought it'd be longer.
Abrupt finish.
Yeah.
Really, truly abrupt finish. But I haven't seen anything about how that came across to the internet or wrestling fans that weren't there. But for us, it felt a little bit abrupt. A great match, though. However, like really good. Not the match of the night.
Holy shit, that triple threat.
Yeah.
Dijak looked amazing. Femi had some of the craziest strength spots I've seen.
I had a cheesesteak.
Let's talk food. I haven't been to America since 2018. When I went to Washington, D.C. Great place.
I've only almost exclusively been in America.
This is the furthest west he's ever been.
Tied.
Sorry.
Philly is literally the furthest west I've ever been.
So, shout out to Uno.
Yeah, we were there earlier today.
Had a great deep dish pizza. Shout out. Shout out to the crab fries.
Yes, crab fries, which are basically just crinkle fries
with Old Bay.
With Old Bay seasoning.
I love it.
I love Old Bay seasonings, and crinkle cut fries are my favorite fries.
Outstanding. So, No notes.
I had it with cheese. There's a cheese sauce. Got it. Real good.
The other things from the weekend.
What did we eat yesterday?
What did we
eat? Oh, Wingstop on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big Wingstop guy. So
Canada, we need Wingstops. I know we have them, but they're all in Toronto. Like, let's get out of there. Get north. Get east.
Go west. Go west.
Just don't go south.
Diversify. Franchise. That's
Windsor, and they're fine.
You know what, Evan? I think you need to pull all the money that you have and all the money that you can get, like, as loans and whatever, and start opening up your own Wingstop franchises.
I literally just bought a house. No. I have...
Sell the house.
I have no money. And I just went to WrestleMania. I have no money. What are we doing? I spent it all on Obafemi shirts. Also, it was so cold that I bought a hoodie.
Yeah,
on night one, I ran out to a merch table midway through the... I think it was during the women's triple threat, or six-woman tag, which I saw the end of and was outstanding.
Great. Jade Cargo.
I was so cold, awesome. I ran and got a sweater. It's a nice hoodie.
Solid.
It's very solid.
He did not want to wear it today.
I did wear it, but I didn't want
too
to.
Too hot.
I wanted to give the Obafemi a little bit of breathing room. I'm trying to think of other, like,
we saw Atsushin Onita.
Our very first experience this weekend. My plane was delayed because of the earthquake in New Jersey, because I landed in Newark. Javier picked me up on the way from Boston. And
was clutch that he got delayed, because I was also delayed by my...
He was just fucking late.
By my cat, who decided to have a complete and utter meltdown on my rug.
Kids, right? So by the time we get there, we have to go directly from Javier picking me up at the airport in Newark to the 2300 Arena, aka the ECW Arena in Philadelphia.
Which is nice now.
We get there, and there's a line all the way around the block.
Yeah.
The show was supposed to start at 8. Doors, I think, were supposed to be at 7:30. Nobody is inside. We go to the back of the line. We see a Dusty Rhodes impersonator. Outstanding.
No notes.
I'm 90% sure I saw Brian Kendrick there too, like the real one.
I saw Enzo Amore.
How you doing?
He was at a table,
as he does. I'm surprised he wasn't suspended in a shark cage. That was a good match. That was a good time. Now we go to the Battleground Championship Wrestling tribute to the Extreme 2. We get in. We have great seats because they're all floor seats because it's a small arena. And the opening match is Atsushi Onita and a mystery partner revealed to be Tommy Dreamer versus the Dudley Boys. Onita bleeds immediately.
Yeah, I don't know when that happens, but he's bleeding. At first, I thought he was bleeding from his eye. It looked
like he was crying
blood. Because we couldn't... He's got, like, curly kind of... I mean, it's similar to his hair in his prime.
He's got the hair that Jon Moxley wishes he had still.
Yeah, he had the old Dean Ambrose hair, where it's, like, curly and kind of puffy and, like, leans forward a little bit. The curly version of the TikTok hair, where people, like, brush their hair forward for some reason. It's bad. Yeah. I don't like it. Don't do that. But so you can't really see his forehead, so I can't tell if he's bleeding off his forehead. But it, like, on the camera, like the big boards, which are just huge flat screen TVs, you could see, like, he's bleeding, like, here for sure. He has his eye closed, there's blood all over it. Yeah. And, like, he's bleeding from his fucking eyeball. He's not, he's bleeding from his forehead and it leaked down onto his eye. Don't know when it happened. D-Von didn't take any bumps, really. Good for him. Good for him. He's had a lot of surgeries.
The match was first because, obviously, Dreamer and the Dudleys need to get to the Hall of Fame induction for Paul Heyman later on at the Wells Fargo Arena after SmackDown. It was a great opener.
Yeah,
it was
went really awesome.
Yeah, went shock.
3D through a table.
Yeah. Also, one of the smallest tables we've ever seen, and then they used a real one, which was great. Other people we saw, because we did end up leaving early because, like I said, went directly from flight to getting picked up to the arena. We needed some Wingstop, so we wanted to get there before Wingstop closed.
Yeah, everything closes at midnight here.
Yeah, New Jersey. Except for Applebee's.
Applebee's closes at 1.
Because they're cool.
And then there's a Wendy's nearby. But then we can't go to that Wendy's because that closes there pretty early. But there's another Wendy's that closes at 2 a.m., which is a little far. Like, it's like 4 miles away, which is annoying. Just all of you close at 2.
Everyone get it together.
The McDonald's was open when we were going by, and they said it was closed.
We saw Shane Douglas versus C.W. Anderson. C.W. Anderson, the person we saw on this card, who is still in ring shape. Everybody else?
Great.
Not as much. Shane Douglas, especially, not in ring shape.
Not at all.
Francine.
In great shape.
In fantastic shape. Pilates. It was a good match. It was actually pretty good. There was too much time given to Danny Doring versus Crowbar. That was
way too much.
A lot. And then we left when they announced Joel Gertner versus Bill Alfonso.
Yeah, we didn't see Rhino.
We didn't see Rhino. But what we did see, I went out and I got some drinks. And when we got back, when I was in line, there were TVs above so you could see what was going on. And there is the Sandman beating the crap out of Alvin.
Who, yeah.
A surprise star of the weekend for us. Alvin did great.
Here's the thing. I knew Alvin.
I didn't.
Already because I was at the Dynamite collision taping from Worcester, Massachusetts from this past week. The really bad Dynamite that opened up with the Battle of the Wills. That was really fun.
And then just went downhill.
And then just slowly went downhill until it tanked. And then came back up again when Swerve decided to bleed all over a contract.
Because he's crazy.
Yeah. But Alvin faced Saraya's brother.
Zach?
Yes, Zach Knight. At the tapings for Ring of Honor before Dynamite started. And he was a baby face. He was a crowd favorite. It was great. He was selling his soul out. He's a beefy boy.
He's big.
He's built like Bronson Reed if he was a little more compact. And is also a Hispanic man. Shout out. And he, against Jason Knight, was a heel. Like a really effective heel. And he was talking to the crowd and everything. He wins with brass knuckles. And then he's talking crap, all this other stuff. And then he says, also, the weird thing is he's like saying Dudley boys. And I think he's supposed to say mid. But I don't know if he doesn't know if it's mid or not because he's saying myth.
Well, I mean, the Dudley family is a figure of myth. You know,
he's saying like Dudley boys, myth, ECW, myth.
Okay, ECW was real.
Like all this other stuff. I'm like, it was kind of weird. It was
real to me, damn it.
And then
Sandman comes out.
Sandman comes out.
Has a full case of beer in his hand. Smoke in. Kendo stick.
Yep.
Takes his sweet ass time going around.
Sweet time. His song, the Enter Sandman, goes all the way through and then starts up again.
Yeah. And then hits Alvin with the Singapore Cane, of course. It was
Just two shots.
Overall, performers of the weekend. Cody.
Cody. I mean, I don't.
He's a superhero.
The guy was in arguably the two best matches of the weekend.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think there's really an argument. I have a special place for Sammy versus Gunter. I think the match where I was the most sucked in immediately.
I mean, it's a nostalgia thing for me because I was so into Generico when he was in Ring of Honor back in 2009, 10, and 11. that seeing the Brainbuster on the top rope was like
nice.
When it happened, I like grabbed you.
Yeah.
Like just out of instinct. I just went, oh my God.
I thought Gunther was dead. So it's Cody.
Cody.
It's Sammy. Seth, it's Sammy.
Seth has been fantastic.
Yeah. It's Rhea.
Rhea was great. Nod to Becky for yeah,
putting
together that great match. Jade Cargill.
Bailey.
Obafemi. Obafemi. Trick Williams. Dijak. That trick. Dijak was great in that triple threat. Honestly, yeah. Josh Briggs as well. Like all three of those guys, standing ovation. No notes.
No.
Roxanne Perez. Big shout out to her. Big spot for her.
Yeah. Also, the crowd. I don't know how much this came across. Not into Lyra Valkyria. No. At all.
The crowd mimicked me because I also don't understand the Lyra Valkyria thing. Great wrestler.
She's good.
Great wrestler. Like in-ring performer. Great. Like graps. Good performer. Really. Aside from that, charisma vacuum. And also, like, I don't get it.
WrestleMania 40 overall was an outstanding weekend. Philadelphia, you were great, but we didn't stay in you. We're in New Jersey instead.
Deptford, baby.
Across the Delaware River. Really enjoyed it. It was a really great time. We will be going to another one of these.
Eventually.
Maybe.
We'll see about next year, but eventually.
In the future, we will be going to another one of these.
Kids and adults.
This is also the longest time we've hung out. Because it's the thing is, people know this if you listen to the podcast for a long time. We didn't meet each other until my bachelor party, like in real life.
Which was like a day and a half.
It was a day and a half. And then after that, it was my wedding.
Fucking 12 hours for a day and a half.
Committed to the bit. But then it was my wedding where obviously I was a little busy. But we've had 3 whole days.
I was a little busy doing this. Putting that in.
Doing that. Well, I feel like Seth, like, or Roman there. Yeah. Lock and loaded. All right. It is 1:38 in the morning.
Evan's tired.
I don't stay up late anymore. I'm old, man. I don't care. Like,
I got things to do. I gotta shower.
I gotta watch my stories. thank you for joining us during our live in New Jersey, not really Philadelphia, recap of WrestleMania.
It's like our New York WrestleMania. It's actually East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Everything's in New Jersey. We will be back. Like I said, next week or this week on the podcast, we're going to be just doing what we think for the future. We're not going to be watching any matches. But then the week after, we'll go back to the wrestling that you know and love, where we cover your favorite wrestlers through 5 of the most important matches. Javier, do social media thing for yourself.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. This would have been the perfect time to actually make a sign. But guess what? Didn't do it.
You can follow me at @7gomes, @itsevangomes. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. The link for all the cool merch. Javier's got the sweater on. We both have the hats on. It's in the bio. It's in the show notes. It's in everything here. Hit subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube and seeing the fact that we are on the floor of our hotel room, exhausted.
My protein bar pack or box right here, because the little table that it was on.
This room smells like Wingstop.
Still, it's been 2 days.
It's been 2 days.
Which we're not complaining about.
Also, shout out to Original Rush Hour. When we got back and watched Wingstop, Rush Hour was on TV. We watched the whole goddamn thing.
Yes, it was fucking great. And because of that, after Rush Hour was over and we were changing the channel, Evan decided to put on SportsCenter. And that is when I found out, or was reminded, that F1 was in Japan this weekend. And I was able to watch qualifying. And then last night, I saw the race. It went chalk.
Max.
But what do you want me to do?
I first started watching wrestling in February of 1999. The first WrestleMania I remember was WrestleMania 15, Stone Cold versus The Rock. I watched WrestleMania 25 years later, where The Rock was in the main event of one night and was a big player in the main event of the second night. Wrestling is cool. Wrestling's for everyone. Don't be a dick about wrestling. Thank you for joining us, catching up with us. We're happy to be chatting with you. We'll be back at another show, but we'll be back with our regularly scheduled podcast soon. Talk to you then.
Later.